odiate all persons having business before the Honorable the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. I acknowledge the draw near and give your attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its honorable court. Be seated. Case number 10-412, Trump Plaza Associates, which is Trump Plaza Development
Good morning, Mr. Eisberg.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Can I ask you two questions just to get them out of my... why are supervisors voting in this thing? You know, that certification says dual-rate dealers, full-time dealers, whatever, and supervisors.
It was a hybrid position, which had some supervisory authority, but also these employees acted in a non-supervisory capacity. And based on the stipulation, the parties agreed and the board found it appropriate to include them.
Okay. And there are over 500 dealers in one casino?
Yes.
I guess they run, what, 24 hours a day? And
Essentially, and you also have part-timers as well as full-timers, so you're running many shifts, so you need a lot of coverage.
Yeah. Okay.
This case is a case of first impression. In four decisions over a period of 2.5 years, the National Labor Relations Board has refused to consider the legality of a competing certification, which was an elaborate hoax perpetrated by the United Auto Workers and Congressman Robert Andrews, United States Congressman Robert Andrews. This was the most egregious violation of the campaign. By refusing to consider the legality and the reasonable impact of this certification hoax, the board failed to consider the totality of circumstances, and thus its decision is fatally defective and is not entitled to the deference of this court.
Now, why is it a hoax? They held a press conference rally. There were two bargaining unit members there, and they said, and this certification simply says, they've looked at the card checks and there's a majority. I mean, I have a lot of problems with some of the language in here, but why is that a hoax?
Because they purported to decide the issue, to actually conduct a card check, a bipartisan card check. It wasn't bipartisan. The company didn't participate. And then it used the language of the board, a certification of majority status. Only the National Labor Relations Board has the authority to certify the results of an election.
Was there any representation that Congressman Andrews was speaking on behalf of the board?
He invoked the board by saying that this card check was conducted in accord with the NLRB rules.
And you didn't answer my question.
I'm sorry.
Make a representation that he was acting on behalf of the board.
My contention is he invoked the board in the ceremony that he conducted, and that is the
equivalent.
Was
that a yes or a no?
I think it's an in-between, Your Honor. I think by invoking the board...
Who would think that a congressman can speak on behalf of the board? Maybe Greek immigrants would, but...
I think that the newscast...
Hoax is a really strong language. I would suggest jury arguments don't work too well in a court of appeals. They may work well elsewhere, but jury arguments don't work too well here.
Your Honor, I think it was a hoax because the newscast...
It's theater. It's political theater, right?
Well,
hoax?
I would just refer to what the newscaster on Channel 40, in reporting on it, believed it was the equivalent of the similar election conducted at Caesars Casino. So that newscaster, who presumably has more sophistication than the average voter, was so confused that she thought it had the same level of significance as an election.
Did that's the how broadcast she, say the election was the following Saturday?
Following Saturday,
at the end, and that I think...
So that suggests not as quite as much confusion.
I think it could only add to the confusion that was stated at the end, but the exact language that the newscaster said was the results of the card check showed certification of majority status for forming a union at Trump Plaza. This comes on the heels of last week's similar election at Caesars Casino,
right,
when more than 80% voted in favor.
The only reason this was a problem from your perspective legally is because of Congressman Andrews' presence, correct?
That's the main reason. It's in the context of a...
If he hadn't been there, Is there a problem with that?
There would be a problem, but there'd be less of a problem. In terms of this appeal, however, Judge Kavanaugh, my main problem is that the board did not consider the merits of the certification whatsoever. And that's the fatal defect. It has to consider it. Under the Crown Bolt decision and under the Archer decision, the board is required to consider all of the circumstances. That begins with the severity of the violation. How can the board consider the reasonable impact of a violation when it doesn't even consider the violation itself? So that's a fatal flaw. The board cannot avoid. It's the linchpin of the whole case, and the board says we don't have to look at that at all. That's the fatal flaw. That's why this court can't enforce the board's order.
If it goes back, the board will then consider the ALJ's theory.
If it did go back, the board would consider it. It's my contention, however, that since the board has already had four bites at the apple, it's decided this twice on the objections, twice on motions for summary judgment, and it's gotten it wrong four times. And I think at this point, it's the court has the inherent authority to simply not enforce the board's order. It's lacking substantial evidence on the whole record. They've had it before them four times.
Part of that was because of the confusion about the quorum.
Yes, but when the board got it back again, all it did was emphasize that it wasn't going to decide the issue. I mean, I think four times is enough. How can they avoid? This was the linchpin of our whole case. The main legal point of our case was the certification led to confusion. We don't have to prove that every person was confused. We just have to show that it reasonably would lead to confusion. I contend, Your Honor, that if you read
but
the certification.
Your theory is that the board's wrong in saying that there wasn't dissemination, or there wasn't evidence of dissemination. And why is the board wrong in saying that? And especially when dissemination of the mock certifications not really the problem. It's the problem that the congressman's there.
Well, I think the board is simply wrong on the dissemination argument. First of all, there's no question the two Trump Plaza dealers were brought to this card check in order to view it and presumably to report on it. The union was there. This was done.
Why didn't you put on any evidence of dissemination beyond the circumstantial evidence?
Well, I think, Your Honor, when you're dealing with a media campaign where the thing was put on TV throughout the viewer area.
Yeah, so why didn't you bring in some folks to say, yeah, I saw the I saw the TV report and I was confused?
Wouldn't the reason be you didn't is the same reason in Archer where the two employees who did actually pick up the fake sample ballot that said, here's how you vote no, and the board threw that out because it looked like it came from the board rather than the company. It was not propaganda, and they had two employees who actually picked it up and testified, oh no, I didn't look at the sample ballot. If you produced employees who had this available to them at the Union Hall for a week to pick up, to see the certification itself, the poster board, I guess, in the union office, that is certainly circumstantial evidence of dissemination.
That's exactly my contention. In fact, in Archer, there were no employees who actually saw the allegedly offending document because no one testified that they saw the other side of the document. They only testified they saw the first side. Plus, the administrative law judge found that the side in question was largely illegible. The only evidence in terms of dissemination was that the document was circulated. There was no evidence that anyone looked at the document. Nevertheless, the board overturned the election a 9-1 margin.
Well,
with no evidence.
It's stronger than that. In Archer, you had two employees who said, we picked it up and did not look at it. And right. Still, they set aside the election.
I also think, I mean, there's the board's view. If the board is saying, when you have a multimedia campaign, how many employees do we have to bring? If we bring one, do we have to bring three? Do we have to bring four? I mean, there's 500 employees here. Based on the board's precedent with the circumstantial evidence that we have of dissemination, and Crown Bolt specifically alludes to that circumstantial evidence is appropriate, and given the Archer case, we frankly thought we had met our burden many times over. So we didn't feel it was necessary. because of how the certification ceremony was broadcast, was brought to the union campaign headquarters, which was touted on the website for union meetings. It was put on an easel there and left there during the campaign. It was copied and put in handouts for distribution. The thought that this wouldn't permeate the unit, I think, is not a logical thought whatsoever. And the board doesn't explain its contrary precedent with respect to other cases, such as Archer, where there isn't that kind of dissemination.
Can I ask you, this certification has the phrase, in accordance with NLRB rules, and then it also has the undersigned certify that a majority have authorized the UAW to represent them. Is the closest case Archer as far as there's a case a long time ago that used an NLRB seal. I think it may have been Dotson or something, and that's not this, but is that the closest case that you have found that anybody reading this, seeing in accordance with NLRB rules, have authorized? They'd say, well, this is a foregone conclusion. All we're going to do is just ratify it when we vote on Saturday.
I frankly, Your Honor, I haven't found a case that really sets forth similar circumstances. That's why my contention is it's a case of first impression. This is the only case involving an actual adjudication. So it's not simply a reference. All these other cases about misusing board documents are much less. That's what I think the board doesn't get. That's why it has to address the substance of the certification. I would suggest that if Your Honors just read the certification without reference to my argument, to the NLRB's arguments, to the union arguments, just what does it say? What do you think it says? You're reasonable people. I'm confident that you will conclude that there has been an official determination that the United Auto Workers represents the dealers at the Trump Plaza based on the NLRB's rules as certified by public officials. I think if you just read it, no argument, just read the naked document, you have to come to that conclusion. And that is the problem. And that's what the board doesn't address, Your Honors.
How sophisticated are the dealers? You know, you've got that case with the Greek, I can't think of the name of it.
Columbia Tanning.
Right. Yes, should we consider that these dealers, I don't know. Is it in the record if they're how sophisticated they are? Has the board or the union argued that?
It isn't in the record. I think what's important about Columbia Tanning is the issue was, is there reason why people would be confused? There are many reasons why a voter could be confused. In that case, I think approximately 1/6 of the voting unit was Greek-speaking, and they said they could get confused, speculated that people could be confused, whether that, you know, is rank speculation, that immigrants are less knowledgeable about the situation than
That's a far cry from casino dealers who are highly sophisticated.
They're
extremely sharp.
They're sharp about
they
something.
They need to be sharp.
There's a little United Nations of people that constitutes the dealers group. But I think the main point is confusion isn't uniquely based on language proficiency. There are many reasons for confusion. That's why I think it's so important that the newscaster, presumably more sophisticated, was confused by what the certification stood for. That's why I've asked you to just read the certification yourself. And as sophisticated as you are, can you understand what this means, except that somehow these people have been certified as being represented by the United Auto Workers for purposes
they're
of collective
bargaining.
They're
still participating in the election. There's still an election.
Isn't that more confusing, though? What is the relationship between this certification and the election? If the election is decided differently, is it somehow invalid because people have already expressed their opinion in accord with the NLRB's own rules, where the United States Congressman has certified it?
But isn't it like a poll before an actual election?
No, not because of the way it's presented.
You're still going to vote.
Yeah, but because a card check can have legal significance if it is done correctly, if the company had participated.
It's shown to the employer and the employer accepts it, right?
If the employer participates, and this was another thing that was incorrect about the report. It said it was a bipartisan card check. It wasn't bipartisan. It said it was in accord with the NLRB rules. The NLRB does not have rules on these card checks. It has decisional law, but it wasn't in accord with the NLRB's decisional law. It said it was certified. It wasn't certified. It results from an election. So again, the standard is confusion. The board does not consider the single confusing event. How can the court enforce an order where the board has ignored the major piece of evidence? That can't be right, Your Honors. This is the linchpin of the entire case.
Suppose the certification was just signed by three citizens as opposed to the congressman and the two state representatives.
I think that would not raise the same issues, Your Honor.
Okay. And it's called certification of majority status. But it's not called certification of the union. I mean, it's saying that at this point in time, they got a majority. Was that accurate? Was that true or not?
You can't tell because it's not a valid card check, but the certification majority status is a term of art that the NLRB uses because a union cannot legally represent employees unless it's the majority representative. So it's invoking the lingo, the language of the board. And certification majority status is uniquely a term that only the board can do. A card check does not result in a certification. After an election, there's a certification document. I think there's a form, I forget if it's 530, which talks about the certification. But this is all dressed up. That's why I called it a hoax, and I'm not going to argue that point anymore with you, Judge Griffith. But it was made to appear like it was the board's own process, that it had the board's imprimatur, that it was sanctioned by the board. And the board just ignored it. The board didn't care, apparently, about this coming into its own jurisdiction. What would be the difference if the congressman held an actual election and declared a winner? It's left for this court to police this process. Otherwise, this is an area of official a free-for-all. Where legislators can essentially try and preempt or co-opt the board's own jurisdiction and create, you know, significant confusion. This is not a case that's been decided before. This is not some small thing where there's simply a reference to a board form. This is at the heart of the matter. It's an actual adjudication of what the board is supposed to adjudicate.
Let me ask you this. If we concentrate on who would read this, and these are the bargaining unit members, some of whom have signed the cards, and so we don't know the number, and someone who didn't sign the didn't do the card check sees this in the office and thinks, wow, I'm in the minority, or I don't know if I am, because this says a majority of my fellow dealers have already authorized the UAW to represent. I mean, it's much stronger than a poll because the reader is somebody who's either done the card check or not done the card check.
I agree, Your Honor. As someone who's practiced in this field for 36 years, I mean, I know how peer pressure affects people's voting habits. I think there certainly is a strong argument for the bandwagon effect that this is decided.
This election is over.
Yes.
In other words, if you're thinking of not voting for the union, I'm telling you we've certified the UAW is going to be representing you.
And then you're an outsider and you're subject to the displeasure of the majority. So I think even that if people would tend, again, to have this bandwagon effect that they jump on because, look, the issue has been decided in some way.
But the bandwagon effect is fine so long as the member of Congress is not involved.
Well, yes, this case is about the imposition of the government into the middle of this matter.
It's a fair point. I just want to make sure I'm teasing out what exactly your problem is with this.
Yes, it's that, and that because it's a case of first impression in particular, the board had to consider it on the merits, had to consider the severity of the violation. Even if you go to, you know, the vote, the voter margin, certainly the more significant the violation, the more impact on the voter margin, presumably. Not to consider the severity of the violation. I mean, that's putting the proverbial cart before the horse. It's doing the case in reverse. How can you consider the impact of something you've never considered?
You're way over your time, but let me ask you, this is just something I don't know. Could the union have done this? Could the union have said, we've looked at the card check and we've got the majority?
Yes. The union could say that, and it would be a different type of, it may be a misrepresentation or it may not, but it wouldn't raise the same issues.
Is the union free?
It's the confusion because it invoked the NLRB.
The confusion was heightened by the fact that you have a congressman there.
Yes.
Maybe having another government official, not quite so.
Yes.
Other government officials would make it even more confusing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is the union free to disclose the card check to anyone?
Well, the union, that's an issue between the union and its members, but the union did represent on its website that it would not reveal it until it went to, except for the NLRB that was going to conduct the election because they needed for showing of interest. So the union led people to believe that if those cards were revealed, it was going to be to the NLRB. And that, again, is an additional misrepresentation that further would have confused the voters and is another reason why the case should not be enforced. Thank you very much.
Pardon me. May it please the court. My name is Jeff Byrd. I'm here today on behalf of the National Labor Relations Board. Your Honors, the first thing I would like to address is my opposing counsel's statement that the standard in this case is confusion. This is not accurate. As this court declared in C.J. Kribal, the standard in this case is whether there was election misconduct and whether any such misconduct interfered with the employee's exercise of free choice to such an extent that it materially affected the election.
The board's theory is lack of dissemination, right?
Yes,
sir. Doesn't that just defy common sense? The ALJ's theory, I understand, and that's an interesting question. But the board doesn't address the ALJ's theory, right, and just says lack of evidence of dissemination. Doesn't that just challenge common sense to think this is not well known? It's in the newspapers. It's on the TV. Obviously, it's a huge issue in Atlantic City at the time, and it just really defies common sense.
Your Honor, the standard that the employer bears in trying to overturn the results of an election is well established as a heavy one. The board has further declared in Avis-Renicar that where the margin of victory is a wide one, it's an even heavier burden that they bear. Here,
I
the company.
I want to stop you on that because I looked at Avis and I couldn't find that anywhere. It just simply said it's one of the seven or eight factors that there's a heavier burden on the employer when the margin is wide, is not in Avis. Go ahead.
I apologize for
it. It may be another. I'm sure it's in other cases. I don't think it's in Avis. I didn't see it. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, the employer had the opportunity for a hearing within several months after this election took place. Knowing that the burden was on it to establish this standard of materially affecting the outcome of the election, the employer went in before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the record, put on no witnesses, stipulated to a record that contained no evidence that any employee, any dealer, other than the two who attended this union rally, had any knowledge of this. Now, the fact that
there's circumstantial evidence, to be sure, as Judge Kavanaugh pointed out. I mean, they said it's in the newspapers, it's on TV. That's at least circumstantial evidence, right?
There is certainly evidence that it was.
Why didn't the board address that? The board didn't address that at all, as I recall. They just addressed the direct evidence. It said nothing about circumstantial evidence.
The board did address the fact that there was no direct evidence that any of this material was considered, right, and found that in the board's judgment that the record considered as a whole did not support a reasonable inference that there was dissemination of this information. Again,
back with Judge Kavanaugh, how can that be reasonable? It's on television and newspapers.
Well, it's in the union hall. Why else would they put it in the union hall if they didn't want members to pick it up?
Well, the question is not whether what the union wanted, but what was actually the result of the actions taken by the company. There was no direct.
Is it unreasonable for me to assume that if It was broadcast, if the mock certification ceremony was broadcast over television, was reported in the newspapers, and was in the media hall. Is that an unreasonable assumption that it was disseminated beyond the two people who showed up there that night or that day? Is that an unreasonable assumption?
That's what the board found, that it was not, it's not a reasonable inference that it was, that it materially, again, and I would have to stress this one more time, that it materially affected the election. The board never made any type of finding or suggestion that there were not a few dealers who may have seen this, but that's not the standard. It's materially affected. We have an overwhelming majority, a victory by the union of hundreds of dealers.
What about Archer? You had two employees who testified, we picked it up, we didn't look at it, and they set that election aside.
Archer involved an altered ballot. It's within a line of cases that, as the board recently stated in Ryder Memorial Hospital, over a 25-year period of litigation involving exactly what a party can and cannot do, showing a sample ballot to voters, Archer fell right within the middle of that case. A reproduction of a sample ballot that was altered. It was on the backside of a document that was looked at. There was the suggestion that it was, or there was testimony of two individuals that, yes, they did not turn it over and look at it. But that's a different situation because it calls into question the partiality of the board. That is a separate line of cases.
But that's no dissemination in that case.
But it's at a heightened standard, as the opposing counsel argues as the company's counsel argues in their brief. There's a heightened standard that applies when calling into question whether or not the board's
all under the area of confusion, right? And what you're saying is, when there's certain evidence of board impartiality, then we look at it more carefully than perhaps we do. But it's still within this general area of would a reasonable voter be confused about what's going on? Is there a suggestion that the government, the board in particular, the government more generally, has already weighed in on this matter, right?
It does go to the question of confusion, certainly. Yeah. And there we have a question of what influence was the board having on this election, whereas here...
It's not quite the same.
I would agree. Yeah. It is not quite the same. That's correct.
Let me ask you about the board's order on page 629, where it says... Regarding the union's March 25th card check certification, we conclude that this event/document does not justify setting aside the election for two reasons, given the absence of evidence that more than a few voters were aware of the certification and the wide margin of the union's victory. Thus, we need not address whether the certification would have a tendency to coerce reasonable employees' free choice in the election. What if you had an election where the vote was 100% for the union and the misconduct charged was that each bargaining unit member was given $100 to vote for the union? Now, because of the wide disparity, you wouldn't look at the misconduct. I mean, to say that we need not address what the misconduct was, I just don't understand that.
I'd like to offer a two-part response. The first is that, to be clear, it would, of course, be for the board to address that in the first instance, and engage in hypotheticals is difficult for me, but I will address the fact that there you have a wide margin of victory, extraordinary margin of victory, of course, but you also have an extraordinary amount of the dissemination of the violation. Every employee received the $100. Every employee knew of the violation. Here we don't have that. Here we have the wide margin of victory, but we have no evidence, nothing in the record suggesting that any employee other than the two dealers who attended this rally had any knowledge of what had taken place.
You know, on the TV and the newspaper thing, it's not just that they might have seen it in the newspaper and the TV, but that itself is indicative of how big a deal it was in the relevant community in Atlantic City. And it just seems hard to say, oh yeah, no one else knew about it. I mean, that is just so unrealistic, it seems to me. I don't know, can you help me?
Well, And I hate to fall back on this, but I must, as you understand, the board did not address, found that it did not need to address that issue. It obviously, as we've been discussing, relied entirely on the dissemination issue. So the extent of the violation is something that the board would have to address.
No, but that is the dissemination issue. That's my point. Is it's unrealistic for. I'm finding it hard to say that the board's conclusion that only a couple people knew about this is reasonable.
Yes, Your Honor. There were, it's a unit of 530 employees. An overwhelming majority of them voted, 473. 324 of those voted in favor of the union. Right. There was no suggestion that this prevented anyone from voting.
No, I know, but
kept
we don't
anyone
even get,
from voting.
We don't even get to that. That's the ALJ's theory, I think, that this whole thing didn't make a real difference. But the board's theory, as I understand it, is we don't even need to analyze that question because they weren't even aware of this certification. And I'm finding that a little bit of a stretch. And I realize it helps the board not address a more difficult question. I understand the tendency there.
And my purpose in bringing up the numbers was not, or was simply to say that this margin of victory is such that even if it could be assumed that this circumstantial evidence established that some dealers may have sat down that evening and seen this newscast or may have picked up the newspaper the next day and read this, that with the overwhelming majority that voted in favor of the union, that's not enough. That doesn't meet the company's heavy
burden. We don't know that
burden.
The board would have said that because they rely on both things together. They didn't say the margin of victory alone would have been good enough even if a lot of people knew.
Correct. It's both are being factored in.
We would have to send it back. My point is, if we're skeptical, if we find unreasonable the conclusion that only a few people knew, we should send it back, shouldn't we?
I would alter that a bit to that if it was unreasonable to find that enough people didn't know about this to materially affect the results of the election, not if a few people knew, but to materially affect, and by having that standard, the margin has to be factored into this. Then,
how many people would you say?
Oh, I'd have to defer to the board on what the percentage is. In other cases, there have been findings of where more than a 10% margin of victory was a large enough margin of victory to presume that if a few people didn't know. Of course, we play with the numbers. I mean, I can't quote these numbers off the top of my head. But as far as what exactly it would take for it to be sufficient, the board would have to address that in the first instance.
Let me ask you about this wide margin of victory, because I know this isn't a sample ballot, but if the intended reader, that is the bargaining unit member, knows whether he's signed a card check or not, and he sees this in the union hall the week before the election, and it tells him, however you vote, the majority has authorized the UAW to represent it. Why should we look at the wide margin of victory when that's the ball game?
The whole
right
thing's
there,
tainted. Yeah.
The certification.
I know this is very unsatisfying to say that it's a two-part answer. The first is, again, this is a factual situation that is not an issue here that the board didn't address. That said, I believe that would presume that the employer who saw this certification would then not vote, would see that the results, that it would be futile to vote. And here we had an overwhelming majority of the numbers.
To vote no.
Pardon?
It might be futile to vote no.
But it still suggests.
Or vote at all, you're right.
Or voting, it would presumably lead to a conclusion that the person would not vote. I believe it's a safer presumption.
We don't know. We don't know how people would react.
We don't, and that's why I'm probably going a step too far as I said, that the board would need to address the issue. I won't state the standard yet again, of course. I would say in closing, unless Your Honors, of course, have any other questions, that if, as Judge Kavanaugh pointed out, that there was a finding that the belief that there was this reasonable inference or that there was no reasonable inference that could be found about its material affecting the election, that it would, in fact, have to return to the board so they could analyze this other prong of the test regarding the nature of the violation.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Please. All right, Ms. Dreisberg, why don't you take a couple minutes? Your time is up. Do you want to take a couple minutes and reply? If not, we're not.
Your Honors, I think you have the issue. Your questions were right on point, and I have nothing to add. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Call the next case.